Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson and anywhere fine podcasts are available. And be sure to hit that subscribe button, especially here on YouTube where they like to get rid of our wonderful subs, Larson. They're de-subbing people at a breakneck pace.
Seems that way.
Yeah, seemingly. Also, be sure to hit that subscribe download button if you're on that iOS podcast app, because that helps out the show. It's a really cheap, free way to support the show. Just hit that subscriber download button, and it helps jack us up in the sports and rec category there on iOS. We were like number 50. We were like number 45 like a couple days ago after our WrestleMania episode.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It's
we're also
cool.
At Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson, where you can support the show financially, which is not free. And but you do get stuff in return.
It's yes.
Exchange of goods and services, Larson.
Yes. We're also on Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. 5 designs right now. I'm sure more to come.
I'm not wearing one right now. Are you wearing one of our
no,
designs?
No, I'm wearing my... You can't see it, but I'm wearing my New Day shirt.
Oh, I was so hoping you were wearing your progress shirt, because I'm
need
wearing
to wash
my
it.
Progress shirt. I washed it while we were at our rental. I love this shirt. It's a good shirt.
Good.
And great promotion.
Yes. Yeah. Very good.
I guess, is that all our plugs?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're remote right now. We should probably specify that.
Yeah,
Larson's, you're not in a box hovering near me. You're literally at home through the miracle of modern technology.
Yeah, we spent enough time with each other over the last weekend, so we need some time apart.
Well, we need to rest. you put that on me. You keep on throwing that on me. Like, I'm sick of you. And, like, I am deep down, but I would never say that publicly.
Oh, I know.
And I think you're sick of me. You just don't want to admit it.
No, I'm totally fine.
Am I annoying?
No.
Really? After living with me for 5 days? You didn't get any flashbacks to, like, the Roscoe apartment day? Or the Roscoe apartment day?
No, that was so long ago.
Oh, man. Those are the days. So, anyways, we should probably hop right into talking about SmackDown, huh?
Yeah, probably should. So right. we were en route back to Sacramento when this broadcast. We tried to catch up when we could on the plane.
We caught the first, I think, like 40 minutes or so on the plane. And then we watched some on my little phone because Lacey got unlimited data now.
Yeah, so we watched more or less the last hour. Pretty much the stuff we didn't see was we stopped watching right when Ty debuted.
Yeah.
And then we missed all the Miz Shinsuke stuff.
We missed the two most amazing things out of an otherwise, I'll be honest, like those things really elevated the show. Because yeah. I watched on Hulu this morning.
Yeah, I watched what I missed yesterday, this morning too.
Right. And I totally get like Ty and Shinsuke launched that episode of SmackDown into the stratosphere.
Yeah.
However, to see it kind of the way we did, where we got to see the emphasis on the world title picture, that was really weak.
Yeah, that's, you know, maybe 3 months ago, 2 months ago, the Orton Wyatt feud was probably the most interesting thing going on SmackDown, and right
oh,
now
for
it's
sure.
arguably the worst.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. They're really dropping the ball. Here's my thing. Just like Bray Wyatt himself, they can turn this around in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
They just need to do something interesting. And I feel like by virtue of the fact that there's really nothing they can do except for something else, it will be interesting again. It's just they really need to get to that thing, because last night was totally just spinning wheels.
And I'm happy you're optimistic, because in all honesty, I'm not.
Mm.
I know there's possible ways for them to turn around, but they've yeah. g- given me no sign that they're going to steer this storyline into a direction that actually develops the Wyatt character in a sort of interesting way.
They have to do. I mean, here's the thing, though. They can't just keep doing nothing, right?
Well, it's not that they're just doing nothing. They're doing the same thing after, you know, teasing us with some interesting developments. They're just going back to what Bray was months ago, which is he challenges someone, he loses, he laughs it off.
Yeah.
That's pretty much
Bray Wyatt's character. Say right before, or right after the show ended yesterday, right before our plane from Denver to Sacramento took off? I said that segment, that tag match, could have been the go-home segment for WrestleMania, meaning that could have been the last thing we saw before their WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
Just, you know, assuming Randy didn't have the title, because they didn't really do anything. And it could have been, you know, if you bring Rowan into the back end of the picture, he could have accompanied Wyatt to the ring of WrestleMania, and yeah, he would have made no difference. Once, yeah, here's the thing about Eric Rowan. Once you had The Rock squash him in 6 seconds, he's a non-entity. He's a non-factor.
Yeah.
We know that Eric Rowan is simply there to be sort of like a force field for Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. He takes the pin when Bray doesn't want to.
Exactly. So he's not a threat. He doesn't like do anything. I was hoping they would do. Well, let's just start from the beginning.
Yes.
So like my general. Usually we start off with like a general. How did you feel about SmackDown? I thought it could have been in Steve's star rankings. It could have been a 5-star show, which was a 4-star show because of the world title scene and a couple of kind of bland. There was like two other bland segments. I feel like, you know, SmackDown's good at packing 2 hours of good stuff, and I feel like they packed an hour and 15 minutes of good stuff, maybe even an hour and a half of good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm saying an hour and 15 minutes. So anyways, it kicked off with Randy Orton promo where he said, you know, they started, the commentary started off with, these people are going to boo what you normally cheer, and that kind of crap.
Yeah.
But Orton comes down and he drops a promo on Bray Wyatt saying, I mean, just explicitly what happened. I said I was going to do this. I turned on him. I screwed him. And I went to WrestleMania and I beat him for the title. You're not my master. I'm your master.
Pretty much Bray Wyatt. Right after that. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I'll say right after that, Bray showed up on the Titantron.
Mm-hmm.
And again, more or less laughed off his loss and challenged Randy to a match. A special kind of match. Yeah. Horrors match.
Yeah.
So when I heard that, I don't know, the first image I had in my mind was the Asylum match between Dean and Chris Jericho that happened, a year or so ago?
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But with more projections of...
I'm thinking it's going to be heavy on projections. I think it's going to be heavy on projections. And if they get really creative with the projections, which they won't, I think it could be great. It'd be awesome if they had like projections of like, I don't know, like Fit Finley getting changed in the locker room or like literal buttholes. What other weird things could they show projections of, like Steve Bannon's face? That's a house of horror.
Yeah, that's a house of horror right there.
I don't know. There's like other things. Like Luke Harper, Eric Rowan showering, maybe. I don't know. I mean, naked men, basically. That's a house of horrors right there. Just naked men. If they go heavy on the projections, it could look interesting. If they go heavy on the projections, it'll look more interesting than that cheesy Asylum match with Dean and Jericho, though.
Yeah.
So at least there will be that. But I fear it's going to be that. I'm kind of actually optimistic that it might be something more akin to the, maybe I'm just full of optimism because I'm back home today. I don't know. But what if they did something that, like, you know, similar to the Wyatt compound thing with the New Day? So similar. I know I would be cool with, or even if it was like, you know, they did it in the bowels of an arena or something. I don't know. I just feel like you're right. If they simply put up like a steel cage and they have like a bunch of King Llama masks.
Yeah.
It's going to be booty. It's
well, I mean, like, bunk. What about this? This is what I said to you kind of half in jest yesterday after you heard about the this House of Horrors match. That what if it was a Hell in the Cell match, but also inside the cell, a lumberjack match with all the King Llamas around the ring?
Yeah, that'd be good. I would totally like that. I would totally be into that. That'd be cool.
And then add some weapons or something into it as well.
I'll put it this way. I'm not so optimistic that it won't be, you know, the thing that you're originally suggesting, like an asylum match. But there's a part of me that thinks, you know what, maybe they're going to try to do something interesting. They did do the projections thing, which, again, as with this entire feud, was like sort of a seed of a good idea that they simply didn't follow through with to its full potential.
Yeah.
And so I hope that whatever they go with, maybe it'll continue on with that sort of seed of a good idea. Because I mean, say what you will, like in that match, that was an interesting visual at least. Like
yeah,
it was,
but
I mean,
it lent
some great memes at least.
Yeah. It's the start of something that could have been interesting, but you know, it's a kernel of a good idea. They just thought was what they're going to do.
What the entire thing should
yeah,
be. Exactly.
Yeah. And unless you hear the commentary with it, it's kind of lost on the live audience exactly why it's being done. It just seems weird. And it kind of takes you out of the match.
I mean, we never got like a thing where how cool would it have been if they took that seed of an idea and they carried it to its to you know, like a more extreme measure, like where if you have literally both men fighting in the ring and that projection is happening at the same time, but it's like more, it's like there's more cuts. It's like a full on. Like,
it should be like that part of the original Willy Wonka.
Yeah, no, exactly. Right. Right. And you see both guys and it's being projected onto them, too. And like the lights are sputtering on and off. I mean, that kind of thing could be really cool.
Yeah.
And if you, the thing is, like, that's smoke and mirrors. But if you add a really good building dramatic match to that, then you're on to something.
Yeah.
But the problem with the Mania match is that it was a crap match, which had some, you know, some salad dressing on it.
Yeah.
So anyway, on the
Titantron.
He's on the Titantron. He transports. The lights go out. Lights come back on. Bray is behind Randy Orton. He says, I'm here.
Yeah, he attacks Randy. Randy gets the upper hand, does a power slam.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Rowan comes out, attacks Randy.
A new Rowan appears.
Yeah, he has a new mask.
Mm-hmm.
And then Luke Harper comes out to even the odds.
Yeah.
Pretty obvious that we were going to get a tag match to end the show.
You know, talking to my dad last night about Big Lebowski made me realize Luke Harper, they just need to do a Big Lebowski angle with him. Like a brand new gimmick where he's like Dude Harper and he'd be like Lebowski.
Yeah, he would be.
Bray Wyatt's
come out in
like,
the bathrobe and everything.
Yeah, he's like, Harper, come back to the family. You were better then. And, well, that's like your opinion, man.
That's just like your opinion, man.
Comes out smoking weed. Now it's legal everywhere. So, I know. I was even hoping... I mentioned this at the airport yesterday. We need to do a count out where it's like the top 10 wrestlers to leave a faction burn and then crash and burn.
Yeah.
Because this has happened so many times when somebody will leave a faction and they're like, you know, they're not the lead character in a faction and they leave and they just gussy them up in sort of generic babyface outfit, which for Luke Harper is clean, comfy clothes.
Yeah.
Because before he wore dirty, comfy clothes. Now he's wearing clean, comfier clothes. So for him, heading down the path of babyface is simply being more comfy, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I feel like, man, they have a lot of potential with Luke Harper. Like, his journey away from the Wyatt family should have been obviously way more than it has been.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he should have been in the title match.
Oh, I know. He totally should have been.
It would
have
made all the sense in the world.
It would have been a fantastic match, too, because he's a talented dude.
There's more story to tell there.
I know. There's so much more story. And it's like, we're not, you know, sometimes you and I both can maybe bring something that might be a bit more complicated. One of the good questions, and I would love to get Adam Blompier on the show sometime so he can expand on this a little bit. But one of the things that, and Grimm was talking about this at the Internet Darlings panel, was, you know, when you talk about fantasy booking versus when you actually have to do some booking, because Grimm puts on his own shows and Blampier obviously has a hand in WCPW.
Yeah.
It's a lot different than if you're fantasy booking.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure there are issues backstage, but it's like, we're not looking for anything all that complicated. You know what I mean? Like, we're not looking for stuff that will drive away casual viewers.
No,
we just want something that's more interesting.
Yes.
And it's like, even a casual viewer who isn't completely clued in to what's going on, they can be interested by something that has a little bit more complexity to it just by virtue of how it's performed and executed.
Yes.
And so we're not looking for stuff that's like freaking way too intricate. It's just, we want something that's more you know, that's a bit more complicated. That has some more layers to it.
Yeah, and you know, as we said before, Mania, the last thing you really wanted to see leaving Mania from this storyline was a boring face Orton,
which is exactly what we have right now.
Yes,
and so that set up
Bray back with the Wyatt family.
And so that's, which is exactly what we have.
Yep.
But now it's even worse because like he doesn't even have the power of Harper behind him, and Harper is sort of just in babyface lingo. And so that set up the main event, which was a tag team match between the Faces and the Wyatts, which we'll get to in a bit. After that, we had the Miz and Maryse. They did an interview backstage, and they said, tonight will be the last you see of Cena, and we're going to call out Cena and Nikki. And tonight will be the last time you see them, or some shit like that.
On SmackDown Live, yeah.
On SmackDown Live, yeah.
So I wonder if they're going to head to Raw with the shakeup.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, I know they're going to head to go away. They're going
to
be gone.
They're going to head to movie sets.
They're going to head to movie sets, and Nikki Bella is probably going to head to, you know, resting up that neck of hers.
Yes.
Which she needs. I mean, we as much as we talk shit about their characters, you know, we understand that her neck is pretty fucked up, and and that probably isn't fun.
No.
So then that set up, or that didn't set up, but that led to a rematch between Alexa Bliss and Naomi for that women's SmackDown title. I felt like this was sort of a wasted opportunity right here. Like, why have their rematch immediately? Does Alexa Bliss have some heat on her or something? Like, this should have been Naomi coming out in civilian clothes, saying how happy she is to have had her WrestleMania moment in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give her some time to connect with her hometown crowd. And then Alexa Bliss comes out and sets up a rematch, like a higher profile rematch, maybe next week. But instead, they just launch right into the rematch. And this is the SmackDown after Mania. This is supposed to be a time to sort of reload and reset. And just doing a standard straight up rematch right now didn't have times for their characters to kind of hit the reset button or reload.
No, I know. And I'm
or address it.
It's sort of like the Hardys and the Club had their rematch on Raw, I think, just so they can both move on to other things.
Yeah, I know. I know. I just think the difference is...
No, it would have been a lot more impactful if they gave it a week to actually build to it. I agree.
And, you know, this is the first episode after your huge WrestleMania moment. You should have some time. You know, I always like that when they do the champion comes out and drops a promo thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they let Orton do it. Maybe they just didn't want to be too repetitive, have too many promos, which I totally get.
Well, I get that, but then just reorder the show.
Yeah, yeah. Naomi ended up retaining.
Yeah.
Bliss was
two
working
nights in a row. Or, sorry, two nights out of the last three where Bliss is tapped out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she really did a number on Naomi's knee. Naomi was really selling the knee.
I mean, the match itself was decent. There was some good storytelling going on, and Naomi did a fantastic job of selling the knee.
Yeah, it was what it was. I like Naomi. She's good.
Yeah, Naomi's great.
Then we had Kurt Hawkins. Joel, Chad Hawkins. Ooh, another Moro-less, Moro Watch 3000 is still on, man.
Yeah.
No Moro these days.
No. Chad Hawkins comes out. Kurt Hawkins. Gosh.
clean your cock.
Kurt Hawkins comes out and says, you know, hey, with the superstar shakeup happening, I need to do more. They'd be talking about me, so he's going to issue an open challenge at the count of 10. And once he said that, everybody knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, I wish that he was as casual as you are talking about it. He was very intense, but I feel like he needs to back up and be casual. Poor Chad Hawkins. He had that whole Chad Hawkins facts thing. And it just completely went away. Like, why doesn't he reference that in his promo? Say, fact, the superstar shakeup is next week. Fact, we need to talk more about me.
Because his tights still say face the facts on them.
or did he? He didn't. Wait,
no.
Just make sure that I'm right about that. He didn't.
No,
actually
I did.
Do that,
I watched it again this morning. I didn't hear anything about facts.
I wasn't really. I saw him yelling into the mic and I was listening. But, you know, it's like it's Chad Hawking, so it goes in one ear, out the other. All I heard him say was, you need to listen. I want to talk about me or something.
Yeah, yeah. So, I didn't hear anything about facts.
Say face the facts. I'm facing the facts right now. Superstar shakeup could be superstar release for me.
Yes.
So he said you have till the count of 10 to do it.
Yeah, and everybody knew it was going to happen.
Okay, so let me ask you this real quick.
What?
I watched the Hulu version, and it seemed like an odd cut. Did he count down to 10, or he just said 10, and then Ty's countdown happened?
That's exactly what happened.
Okay, okay. So it just like some of this shit felt like truncated. Like when Shinsuke came out, they were chanting Shinsuke, and there felt like there was an odd audio cut there on the Hulu version.
Oh,
that I was thinking maybe, but it's still 2 hours, so I don't know. Anyways, continue.
Anyway, so Ty Dillinger comes out to a massive pop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a bunch of, you know, everybody's chanting 10. Yeah. Comes down the ring, and you tell he's super excited. Oh. It's great. 15 years of work for Ty Dillinger, and it finally mm-hmm. pays off.
Yeah.
Comes out in SmackDown, starts giving out 10s to everybody.
Doles out the 10s to everybody.
Everybody. It's great. Ty is great. So they have a match. Of course, he wins mm-hmm. pretty easily. Starts doling out more 10s.
Yeah.
Great pop. And, you know, I said earlier this year that he was a shoo-in to win the NXT title, but after signing or re-signing Cassius Ohno and now Drew McIntyre, the upper card on NXT is just too congested right now.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, I told you last night, because you asked me, what would I have preferred, Ty Sting and NXT to win the title or mm-hmm. or going up to the main roster, in this case, SmackDown? I just said, I just want a place where he has opportunity to succeed. And if that means moving up to main now, then that's what it is.
I also kind of wonder, let me ask this, I kind of wonder if their blueprint in NXT is kind of what they're hoping to follow. Because here's the thing, dude. He's not going to be a world title holder, and that's not a knock. It's totally fine. I wonder if strong mid-card guy, which he was in NXT, because that's kind of how they feel his ceiling is on main, that's simply why he debuted. I mean, they like to make their big debuts. Ty is as ready as anybody else.
Yeah.
There's no need to put the NXT title on him. I don't think it would really... I don't, you know, there's sort of an expectation these days when you have the NXT title, like Bobby Roode, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, Shinsuke, that they're going to go on to the world
top
title
of the card
scene.
On the main roster, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I always
thought, guy like Ty, it's not, I mean, and this is not a knock on Ty, it's just the level of talent that's chomping at the bit for that main roster world and universal title, you know, is so heavy that you need strong mid-card guys.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I thought there's kind of two reasons I thought they might put the NXT title on Ty. One is to see, try to think of the best way to put this, is to see if he had the potential to mm-hmm. be a top of the card guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And granted, being a top of the card guy in NXT doesn't necessarily equate to being a top of the card guy on the main roster.
Well, but these days it kind of does.
It does, but historically speaking, it doesn't always. Because
Neville was
NXT champion, and when he was brought over, he was not brought over as a top of the card guy.
Prior to Kevin Owens, you're right. But from Kevin Owens on, everybody's been a top of the card guy. That's 2 years.
Yeah, I know. I guess I only have one reason then. I think I forgot the other one.
But yeah, I mean, I think
I'm still recovering.
No, from the weekend. Dude, I know. I'm with you on that. I wish you could see our set right now. It's such a cluster. But I kind of even clustered it up a little bit more just to give, you know, to set dress our recovery.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I just think that, you know, he did everything he needed to do. Like, he's supremely over.
Yeah.
You know, I think, and there's something to be said about strike while the iron is hot. You know, people are doing those 10 chants everywhere.
Yeah.
Let's get him in here and see how far his momentum can take him. And I'm hoping it's the upper mid card.
Yeah, me too. I mean, he's for sure got Intercontinental Champion potential.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Absolutely. So then we had, I like this.
Mojo,
we had a Mojo Rawley interview.
It seemed very honest.
I love this. This was great. He was reserved. Like, he was all over the map, but in a very, very specific, wonderfully executed way. It wasn't Mojo all over the map. It was Mojo hitting highs and lows and being understated and then being crazy. But it was all it all followed a very, very, very nice path. I liked it.
Yeah,
I don't
and
know
it all
why
seemed
I can't
genuine
talk
and it all seemed honest.
Yeah, it was all very genuine, man. That's great. I thought it was fantastic. He was like, yeah, I had my WrestleMania moment. And she was like, what's it like parting with Gronk? And I wanted it. I was hoping he was going to say, I can't talk about that because that's way beyond PG, man. That's like, what's after NC-17? He's like the most fun-loving guy. But then he also had, and I love, dude, I love it because it's layers. It's not one-dimensional. It's exactly. Like, you know, this is just the beginning, and I want to see how far I can go. I thought it was fantastic. And yeah, everything seemed completely and totally genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't need, this guy doesn't need promo school. He doesn't need any of that stuff. You just put a mic in front of him, let him talk, and you're going to get the most honest and oddly relatable guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, he's the guy, he's not the guy you want to be. He's the guy who you want to be his best friend, you know?
I mean,
you look at him and Gronk and you want to be
pretty
that.
Obvious, and I think it helps because he's obviously not giving scripted promos.
Mm-hmm.
There's no pretense about him, it seems like.
Right, exactly.
And that's relatable.
Yeah no, absolutely. So that was good. And then Miz comes out dressed up. Miz and Maryse, I think, do their final Cena, Nikki Bella impersonation thing, but they do it live this time. They both come down to the ring, and they're mocking Cena and Nikki and their proposal, and they're essentially saying, this was kind of like a victory lap for them because they got the moral victory.
Yeah.
They were validated.
They didn't say in so many words.
Right, exactly.
The proposal validated everything we said, but that was the subtext, essentially.
Yeah, the fact that they mocked it and did what they did in the middle of the ring, I'm sorry, but that was their victory lap. They understood that what they said was completely correct. They're in the right, and you're right. They didn't say it in so many words. They didn't need to. They showed it. They didn't say it, and I love that. That's what you're supposed to do. So I thought this worked really, really well.
Yeah,
it did. Miz was getting a face pop again, or he was getting the smart mark face pop, anyways, and he was eating it up, and he had like a, he couldn't help but kind of smile, sort of grin through the entire thing.
Yeah,
because he was so amused by the reaction it was getting.
Well,
was
also awesome. I feel like they have fun doing their Cena and Nikki impersonations.
I think you have to imagine that, you know, after being kind of required to play, you know, the, for lack of a better word, you know, the sort of heel, asshole, and bitch characters, that they get to do something goofy and mocking, and that's got to be fun for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a fun change. So he calls out Cena, and instead he gets the debuting Shinsuke Nakamura. His violinist came out.
Well, actually, Miz didn't call it anybody. They were just leaving the ring.
Oh,
they just said you'll never. We're going to Hollywood. You're never
that's right.
See us
we're
again.
Going to Hollywood. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
So he didn't call it anybody. Instead, they were about to leave the ring, and then the violinist comes out, starts playing. The crowd starts going crazy already. They know what's happening.
Miz said something interesting though during his interview. He said next week with the Superstar Shakeup happening, you never know. We might be going to Raw too. It wouldn't surprise. Like as much as I would be totally cool because of what you said. You know, Miz and the knock on his soft style versus the King of Strong style. I would like to see that feud. I think Miz could get a lot out of that feud.
Oh, yeah.
Whether or not that's in the plans, I don't know. But it wouldn't surprise me. You know, everybody's talking about the Superstar Shakeup. Everybody's mentioned it. Wouldn't surprise me if we saw him leave. I'm so curious. Okay, so we'll get to this in a second. But the AJ thing, we got to talk about that.
Okay.
So Shinsuke came out, and basically he just came out and did his entrance, and everybody popped huge, massive.
Yeah.
And that was it. He debuted.
Yeah, there was no altercation with Miz or anything.
Yeah, there was nothing. Miz sort of gave him a sideways glance and left, but something tells me that's kind of it between them. I think that's going to be...
Yeah, and if so, you know, as you said earlier, I think that could be a fun feud, and I think it'd be a missed opportunity for him not to pursue it.
This almost just kind of feels like they've... let me ask you this. Do they know what their plans are in stone for the Superstar Shakeup?
In stone? Of course not.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think... And they may not have the entire plan or version of the plan mapped out now, but I would think they would at least know top of the card guys who they think will switch brands.
I think you're right about that. I think you're right about that. But
I
think
I don't expect to be a lot. Maybe one.
Yeah, no, me neither. Did you see that WWE.com posted like a small detail about it?
No.
All they said was Raw and SmackDown during the Superstar Shakeup will have the opportunity to make deals and trades. So okay. Evidently, this is the window. We kind of talked about this. It was just, we wanted a window of time where they could do this. And that's what the Superstar Shakeup is. So we kind of called this one now that I think about it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I mean, this may be, I guess, in kayfabe, in universe, in story. This is why we haven't seen any trades up until now, even though like Mick Foley sort of teased it with Sami Zayn and Eva Marie.
Yeah.
Apparently, they had not been allowed to do this until now. So yeah, kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Anyways, that led to a street fight, apparently a non-title match.
Yeah.
Between Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin got the best of Dean Ambrose. He won the street fight, did not win the Intercontinental Championship. Does this mean that maybe one of these two are going to be involved in the Superstar Shakeup?
Could be.
I kind of feel this had kind of that Charlotte feel to it.
Yeah, a little bit.
So I don't know if this means that Corbin would be moving over to Raw, or if maybe they're going to swap U.S. title for IC title.
Could be.
I would doubt that because of Kevin Owens.
Here, there's two things I think. I don't see Owens moving to SmackDown since he's aligned with Triple H and Steph.
Right, and Samoa Joe, yeah.
Yeah, and Samoa Joe. I don't see that happening. And I don't see Corbin necessarily. I could be completely wrong. Corbin going to Raw is kind of redundant because they already have Braun. They're not the same character, I know.
Yeah, I know. No, it's heel heavy over there. You got Joe, you got Owens, you got Braun. Well, Braun,
if anything, feels like Raw needs to ship, especially after the AJ segment, Raw needs to ship a heel over.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And then SmackDown, I don't know who SmackDown's going to trade unless Dean's going to, but then they'd have to trade belts. I don't know.
Yeah, that was my thing, though. I was like, yeah, why wouldn't they just put the belt on Corbin and then get rid of and ship Dean over to Raw?
I know. And this match was the match I think we were both kind of expecting to get at WrestleMania, a street fight.
I know. What the hell? Like, why couldn't we have gotten this?
This is exactly the match we wanted to see at WrestleMania.
I know, exactly.
With the same result. We wanted Corbin to win and get the IC belt, and I don't know why they didn't do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I imagine they've got something in mind for somebody. Maybe Corbin picking up the moral victory might, but then the world title is just all mixed up with Orton and Bray, so I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know either. Well, then not only Orton and Bray, but then you have Shinsuke now that's going to be top of the card within the next 6 months. You have AJ.
Maybe
still
are we
going to
get Corbin Shinsuke
rematch?
We're going to get Corbin Shinsuke next up.
Could be.
I mean, Shinsuke's a massive debut. He's going to be knocking. I mean, he should be immediately up there. Corbin just beat the IC title, so the IC title holder. So that kind of. And, you know, without giving, I kind of said that Corbin was going to leapfrog the IC title, and I kind of feel like this is him doing that.
Hmm.
So maybe he's going to take on Shinsuke, who's obviously above the IC title.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We shall see. Then Shane McMahon came out to address the Superstar Shakeup thing. He said, people on the Raw roster should be praying that they get sent over here to SmackDown because we are the land of opportunity.
Correct.
That led to AJ Styles coming out. And
he said that he doesn't want to leave SmackDown. That SmackDown was the house that AJ Styles built.
I loved this. I loved that he was... talk about elevating the blue brand is by having your best wrestler in the company, the one that every fan loves, no matter how much he tries to be heel, they all chant for him because they know he puts on the best show every single time.
Yep.
And he's saying, this is my house. This is where I want to stay. I don't want to go anywhere. And he said, Shane, I owe you something. And he shook his hand, and then he sort of mad-dogged him a little bit, but with a big smile on his face. And I loved it. Was this an AJ? This had to have been AJ Styles' face turn, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, I loved it, man.
Yeah, it was good. It was
this
great.
Was good.
They managed to do so much in, what, 5 minutes at most?
I know. But
in terms of developing,
are they going to break? Or are they going to? I don't want him to go to Raw now.
No, I don't at all.
And I feel like they're not going to. Like, I feel like that was him saying, I'm here. I'm going to stay here.
Yeah.
That's cool. Because you need some stability. You need some franchise. You need some brand franchise guys.
You need stability at the top of the card.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That led to the main event, Orton Harper versus the Wyatts. Orton Harper went over in a fairly boring match. This saw one bit of Bray Wyatt teleporting from inside the ring to the ramp.
Yeah, but it was so underwhelming because it was obvious the lights went off. He just ran up the ramp a bit.
Right? I know.
Like, have him be at the top of the ramp. Have him be backstage. Make it interesting.
I know. And then, and so he just left, what's his face?
Eric Rowan to eat the pin, I know.
To eat the pin. and Bray
again is kind of like slouched on the ramp, yeah, kind of propped up by his elbow, yeah, saying, "All right, it's fine. I'll laugh it off."
And then what did he do? He laid down and he started playing with himself. I laughed so hard when we saw that on the plane.
Yeah.
That's his new angle, his magical masturbator.
Orton, look at me. I got my balls out, Orton. Look at them. They're so hairy, man. They're so weird.
Oh, goodness.
And Luke Harper's got the sweatpants on, so when he gets a boner, everybody sees it.
Oh, dear.
You can't hide a boner in sweatpants, man.
What's that?
You can't hide a boner in sweatpants. Right?
I don't think so.
You can't, especially gray ones. Everybody can see everything, man. Mushroom tip and all. It's disgusting. Do we have questions on our Patreon? Oh, no. I want to talk about Luke Harper's mushroom tip more.
No.
No, you shut it down. Good job.
No.
Probably the smart move on our part.
All right. First question. Triple H finds it funny.
They find it funny.
There you
go.
That
somebody named that after me.
Hey, friendos, the rebranded Mankind Sexy Tooth here. I'm proud to say after 1 month of being a patron, I have decided to renew my pledge to the podcast. My question is, if you could team up to face a tag team together, what brand would you go to, what tag team will you face, and what would your tag team be named? It would be the Shit Twins, right?
Yeah, it would be the Shit Twins.
What brand?
Raw.
Who would we face?
The Hardys.
Okay. Good answer.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jay in the North. First time Patreon and first time question here, so thank you, Jay. How do you think the Wyatt Orton story will play out after Mania, and what do you want to see in the House of Horrors match? We kind of mentioned that a little bit. I want to see projections of men showering. Because that's horror. Talk about horror. When's the last time you were at like a gym and you saw one of them old dudes in the shower? It's or out of the shower in the locker room. It's so gross. It's so shocking. like, cause I just, you know, I started up with the gym again, like, I don't know, a month ago or so.
Yeah.
And so I was going to the locker room, put my hoodie in there and my wallet in there and lock it up. And it's still shocking when you see a fucking old leathery naked guy. Like, good for them. They're working out. That's awesome. Like, that's great. But seeing a naked old weirdo in front of you is fucking weird. It's really nasty.
Fat bastard champ Alex Foster. What would you do to shake up the tag division on SmackDown, considering not even the champions are on the show? Retired Dwayne Nix has a good answer. Add DIY.
Yeah.
I thought
we were
going to
see their debut
night.
Last night. Maybe it's going to wait a week.
Maybe.
That's cool. Space out your debuts a little bit. Oni Lorcan debuted on 205 Live.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch that later today.
I know, me too. I heard that the Progress Boys showed up too. The
they announced
British Strong Style.
UK show.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Wouldn't that suck if they sent British Strong Style to 205 Live? That would not be good. Let's see here. I'm going to look for another question.
Above titles, Alex C. Did you notice that Ty's Titantron had a weird ratio? It had spaces on the top and bottom. It was perfectly fit to Raw's Titantron. And on Talking Smack, he mentioned the shakeup. So you think he's Raw bound? And if so, who for? No. I think anybody who debuted this weekend, that's the show they're going to be on for a while.
Yeah, we got a couple of questions. We got a couple of people on Twitter in here. Well, I didn't check here, but on Twitter saying, do you think Shinsuke is going to go to Raw in the Superstar Shakeup? No.
No.
People who just debuted are not going to be shooken up.
Nope.
That's not going to happen.
Nope.
I did notice, though, and I'm so bummed out because I got whipped out my camera, my phone, to try to get it on camera, but it disappeared. But during Goldberg's entrance at Mania, they showed Rick Rude's Hall of Fame induction still.
Yeah.
And then they took it down. I was like, but it was up there for like a good, I don't know, 30 seconds or something.
Yeah, it was up there for a while.
Yeah. Let's see here. How long can I get my name before Steve stops reading it? Asks, with the Perfect 10 finally coming to the main roster, what do you think his ceiling is? We talked about that a little bit. I think strong mid-card.
Yeah.
Strong mid-card, which means IC or US.
Here's a good question. Yeah. Matt, the Lunatic Mullet Simpson. With the Superstar Shakeup happening next week, what are five trades that you would hate to see happen?
AJ to Raw at this point.
Yes.
I'd hate to see that.
Yes. I would hate to see Sammy stay on Raw.
Yeah.
That's more of a trade that doesn't happen.
Yeah. But with us talking about how heel heavy it is, I'm trying to think, like, don't they kind of need him to stay on Raw? I mean, I guess with Seth and Finn, you have people to fight with Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe.
Yeah, and you have Jericho for another month.
Yeah, I would hate to see Sammy stay on Raw. You're right. I still agree with that. More trades I'd hate to see. I'd hate to see Baron leave SmackDown.
Yeah, I would too.
I feel like there's still a lot he can do there.
Enzo and Cass feels like they need to go to SmackDown.
Yeah. Especially with the Hardys
showing up. The tag division on Raw is just too face heavy.
Yeah. No. Totally.
It's pretty much the club. It's the only real heel team.
Well, now Dash and Dawson.
Oh yeah, Dash and Dawson. Sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But yeah, either Cesaro and Sheamus or Enzo and Cass need to go to SmackDown.
Yeah, one of the women in Raw. Like we need one of the Raw.
Yeah, the top SmackDown. Three. Woman on Raw, the other Sasha. Charlotte.
I wonder if dispatching of Alexa Bliss so quickly is going to lead to Naomi versus Charlotte.
Could be.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
I'd be cool seeing that. She comes in. She's a monster.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be a good, interesting feud.
Those are all good answers. Let's see here. Going to look for another question.
Here's one. Nate Morris. So I don't think I heard you guys mention it on the review. What was your favorite match from Mania? Nate Morris says Triple H versus Seth.
Triple H versus Seth.
Yeah, I still haven't watched the televised version of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think especially after watching it on the broadcast, I'll agree with that. That it was Triple H Seth. That seemed to have the most in-ring story of all the matches.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think from entrances to exits, I thought that was the best one.
Yeah.
I thought it was a fantastic match. Yeah. Like, whenever it hurts to watch, everybody's okay at the end and it hurts to watch during the match, then I'm totally cool with it. I thought it had a really good, I thought it had a strong finish with the Stephanie going through a table. I liked that a lot. I'm trying to think of the other matches on the show. Like we've said, it's sort of a middle of the pack show. Like there was some, there was a lot of good, some crap. Like obviously Bray Randy was like our least favorite match.
Yeah, that was awful.
But I think there were some things in there that they, you know, like Ambrose Corbin. Like I don't know. Like I'm getting the feeling that Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Like, why wouldn't they have had that street match at Mania? Is that too much? Was that overload for Mania? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking on that one. Tommy T has a good question. What Shield member do you believe had the best match with Triple H? He says his opinion it was Dean, even though Seth wasn't 100%. I feel Dean had the best chemistry with Triple H. What do you think was better, Seth versus Triple H at Mania this year? Or Dean versus Triple H at Roadblock last year?
I have to watch the Seth Triple H match on TV first.
Mm-hmm. I think in terms of just being like a straight up badass wrestling match, Dean versus Triple H was so good at Roadblock last year.
It was.
It was exciting.
It was really fast paced.
Yeah, it was just a really good match. That said, I mean, you know, Seth and Triple H really take pride in their storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And the one at Mania, I mean, it's kind of hard to compare them. Which one did I like better? I don't know. I might say Dean Triple H. Like, my thing is this. I like a lot about Dean Ambrose. It's just he needs to put on, like, sometimes I feel like Dean either needs to be CZW crazy in his matches, which mm-hmm. the WWE can't allow, or he just seems kind of neutered.
I know.
But that Triple H match was next level. I was like, man, that was a really good fucking match.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's a strange kind of juxtaposition where he has kind of, in a lot of respects, kind of cookie cutter matches with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of his matches play out similarly.
Right, yeah.
You know, and so there's rarely a surprise, and just the surprise of that match, I think more than anything, was just how good it was.
Right.
So let me see. Nathan Dog Broomfield with Shinsuke making his SmackDown debut last night. Do you feel the WWE will know how to utilize him even though he is on the, quote, B show to Raw. I think the fact that AJ, you mentioned this earlier, AJ came out and said, I want to stay on SmackDown. This is my show. Mm-hmm. They bring in Shinsuke, who is far and away probably the most popular wrestler NXT's ever, that's ever gone through the NXT system.
Mm-hmm.
Adding those two, or having those two top-level stars in the show, elevates it a lot. Even without Cena, elevates that show a lot.
I'm really interested. Here's my thing. If they ship Cena off SmackDown and bring in another big name to SmackDown, that to me is, I don't know exactly what the term is for it, but that is so lopsided because I kind of expected Cena to be gone anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So that simply means SmackDown is adding for losing nothing and adding something major.
Yes.
So I am totally cool with that. And Ty and Shinsuke DIY, assuming they show up soon, and maybe another top level tag team like the Club teaming up with AJ, maybe as faces. I don't know. That makes SmackDown, like, people were like always saying, "Oh, say, I'll put it this way." With what we saw on Raw, the debuts we saw on Raw, like, and Finn returning, and Shinsuke showing up on SmackDown, AJ getting into that face role, and then maybe another big heel showing up on SmackDown, and then maybe Sami Zayn. My God, they're on, in my heart, they're on equal footing.
Yeah,
that to me is SmackDown. As and on top of that, you have SmackDown's added advantage of the obviously superior creative staff.
Yes.
And Raw continuing that sort of big moment momentum. That's weighted right there. That shakeup will wait things out. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because my thing about Cena is that he just wasn't there all the time. And so any hope of SmackDown feeling, and I know people are out there, and hey, you guys are going to say this in the comments, oh, SmackDown's always been an A-level show. That's fine. But when your biggest name, Cena, is sort of half in, half out, that's one thing that was always missing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of tendency to present itself in its presentation, you know, as a more intimate show. More intimate can, you know, in many ways mean smaller.
Yeah.
So, I think that they sort of even things out quite a bit. It'll be interesting to see how quickly, you know, a show needs... It's sort of, how do I put this? A show with a balanced chemistry is a really strong show.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a bunch of good feuds that are sort of well balanced, then that's really, it's going to be interesting to see with the shakeup if SmackDown can quickly form some good in-show chemistry.
Yeah. Yeah, because they have before. I mean, when they were firing on all cylinders, they hit some good grooves, finding ways to interweave all sorts of various narratives together.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
When you saw like Daniel Bryan and The Miz sort of sparring, and then you had some other really good storylines, and it's like, okay, wow, SmackDown's really on a good path. Mm-hmm. If you add Charlotte to SmackDown, oh my God.
Yeah.
Then that elevates the women's division immediately to something like to have Naomi be freaked out because Charlotte is here. Oh my God. And, you know, I just got this belt back after injury again. You know, and now Charlotte's here. Oh, shit. I might be screwed. That's really good. That would be really good.
That would be really good.
I like this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I have one here from James Rodriguez. Do you think the Usos will drop the belts next week after one of them said, oh, I didn't notice this.
Yeah, I didn't hear that either.
So I guess one of the Usos said Bullet Club again for the second week straight.
Maybe the Club's going to SmackDown then.
Yeah, but that's like his point is, are they going to be punished for saying Bullet Club twice? I don't know what their policy. I don't know how severe will the punishment be if they keep on saying Bullet Club.
I know. I don't know either.
I have no idea. Obviously, they're not supposed to say that.
No, I wouldn't think so. But you'd think if they said it once, someone would say something to them, then they wouldn't say it again unless there's a reason for it.
No, I know. I think they just fucked up, man. There's no possible. I mean, look, say the Club, yes. Say Bullet Club. You can't say that.
Well, the first time they did it last week, it was about saying they could beat any tag team or something like that.
Right. And they said, they were referring to Gallows and Anderson.
Oh, and they actually called them Bullet Club, huh?
They said, we want to fight everybody. Then I think because they were talking about like wanting to have their Mania moment, they're like, we want to fight everyone. Bring those Bullet Club guys over here. But they were referring to Gallows and Anderson. They weren't talking about like the Gorillas of Destiny. And so, yeah, man, they can't keep saying that.
No.
I don't know if that would be, if they would punish them so far as to have them drop the titles, but it wouldn't surprise me if they had them drop the titles to like DIY or something like that.
I wasn't going to be surprised that it happened last night at all.
It wouldn't surprise me. Let's see here. What heel tag teams are? Oh, Dash and Dawson. Yeah, Dash and Dawson might take the club role, and if they're going to send the club over to SmackDown,
yeah,
they come over, take those titles off the Usos. Maybe they're faces at that point.
Could be.
Yeah.
Magnum TA champion Nathan Ragland. Let's say Vince gives you guys the opportunity to make your own WWE 24 short documentary on anyone or anything. What would be the subject person, and what story would you try to tell?
So we kind of need to take a moment, not just a person, but a person in a moment.
Yes.
And tell and do a 24. What would you want to see that on? Part of me wouldn't mind seeing Shinsuke in the 24 hours before his main roster debut.
Yeah.
That could be interesting because we know his family was in town.
Yeah.
Be interesting to go from, I mean, I know it was more than 24 hours, but his final NXT match through his SmackDown debut. So they can be like, hey, 12 hours of NXT and 12 hours of SmackDown. We can just act like Monday night.
Say it's a consecutive 24, just 24 hours.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I know it's never, they'll never do this probably. Love to see like the 24 hours leading up from a creative standpoint to them solidifying, say, the WrestleMania breakdown, the actual show.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
How that's put together.
Yeah.
The debates that go on in terms of what, how the matches play out, who goes over, that kind of stuff.
You know what I would have loved to have seen? I would love to see behind the scenes with Cena, Nikki, Ms. Maurice.
Yeah.
I would really love to know how, what the relationship is, what the chemistry is with Miz and Cena, if it's a tight relationship or if it's Cena just sort of being Cena and Miz doing whatever he's told.
Yes.
Because that would be, I would love to think that they're all collaborating on all this stuff. But I just don't know. Cena sometimes comes off as the kind of guy who shows up to work. He puts his two cents in, which probably carries a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And the people, they just go ahead and do, as opposed to him, you know. Or I would love to see shit. You know what I'd love to see?
What?
From when Goldberg arrives at WrestleMania to when he leaves.
Oh, Raw. Yeah.
That I would love to see. You know why? Do you know why? Because I would love to see whatever his and Lesnar's relationship is.
Yes.
That would be interesting because the fact that Lesnar was saying, no, this guy is money. I wonder if I would really love to know what Brock Lesnar's, what his perception of Bill Goldberg is, what their relationship would be. Cause we know that it was like last year, it was non-existent with Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
we know how Brock Lesnar probably feels about Dean Ambrose, but knowing that Bill Goldberg is big money for him and, I would think having some respect for the fact that Bill Goldberg is killing himself to get into shape and being 50 years old and being cool with eating all these German suplexes.
Yeah.
And the fact that he would have to respect Brock Lesnar enough to put Bill Goldberg over.
Yeah.
Like he'd have to respect Bill Goldberg to put him over the way that he has over the past four months or whatever. That would be really interesting to see if those guys are chummy.
Yeah, I'd also be interested to see like the 24 hours leading up to and following Reigns and Undertaker's match.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see how Undertaker, you know, see the aftermath of the match backstage, how people responded to it, and see how he and Reigns interacted leading up to and following the match, you know?
Oh, that'd be great, yeah, yeah. What a good question! Good question. Who was that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Who was Nathan Ragland.
Nathan Ragland, man.
Great question.
Firing all cylinders. Got me that Magnum TA shirt. I think he got us like a Magnum TA picture.
Yes.
Nathan Ragland, friend of the year. That's going to make some people mad. Oh, goodness. Let's see here. One more question and then we're out.
Yes.
Because we got some resting up to do.
Oh, here's a good one.
Go ahead.
Rad Sandwich. Hey there, friendos. I got a huge kick out of the Too Sweet chant.
Too sweet.
For from the post-Mania Raw and SmackDown crowds. Do you think this will stick around? Speaking of which, does the club moving to SmackDown or AJ going to Raw make more sense for a possible reunion? Thanks.
Do you think that was us?
I don't know.
It couldn't have been us.
I wouldn't think so, because I don't... This is what... Let's just tell the story. We'll let people make up their mind.
Okay, yeah.
So we went to the WCPW show.
Yeah.
Saturday at noon? 1:30.
Yeah.
Before the Internet Darlings live panel.
Right.
And it must have been probably the first, and if not the first, the second match, where one of the first two counts the ref counted out, we did help the two fingers and said, two, and right afterwards said,
sweet! Which we stole from the PWG show we
yes.
went to. Which everybody does there, which makes me think that this totally wasn't us.
Yeah, but it seemed as if no one at that WCPW show was familiar with it because it got a good... People laughed.
People cracked the fuck up and they all looked at us.
Yeah, and then, they and then after that, everybody started doing it
right.
for the rest of the show.
Right.
So maybe, you know, if we want to flatter ourselves, we can take credit for part of it, but...
Look, if we want to be delusional, we can take credit yes. for it at the WCPW show.
Yes, that we can take credit for.
Yeah.
Whether that extended to other shows, I don't know.
Well, because the thing is, like, after that, we started, like, after that, let's see, I don't think I remember it at the, was it at the NXT show?
No.
I don't remember it being in the NXT show, but then when we showed up at Raw, it was there.
Well, at Mania, a couple people were doing it, too.
Yeah,
I Mania watched the telecast, we watched it on Monday, you could hear people doing... Too sweet.
Yeah, and they were doing a SmackDown.
Yeah,
Cesaro hadn't heard it. Cesaro hadn't heard it before, because he looked sort of surprised when he heard it. He was like, "Wait, what's that?"
Yeah. So, who knows?
So probably not. It was probably because given like there was 400 people at PWG doing it long before we were.
Yes.
Chances are a lot of those people were at WrestleMania weekend, and they were all doing it themselves.
Yes.
So, but
let's do one more question here. This is a good one.
Do you have one?
King of Hostile Joshua the Dynamic Knight Martinez. Hey friendos, awesome meeting you guys at the WCPW show. Nice meeting you too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
His cousin thought it was rude that I didn't too sweet Joshua, and Joshua had to explain why.
Well, yeah, it is rude, man.
I don't
give
too
out
sweet.
Too sweet. You gotta give out too
it.
Sweet.
I don't
saw you
it.
Give out one this weekend.
No, you didn't. His question is, with the Superstar Shuffle or whatever it's called happening next week, do you think champions will be immune? If not, what belts would you switch to wear?
I don't think they'll be immune, but I don't think they'll change either. I think that if we had, I'll put it this way. If Sami Zayn somehow was U.S. champion, I could have seen them flipping the U.S. and mm-hmm. the IC titles
mm-hmm.
because you'd get a face for a face. And
yeah.
Dean Ambrose can go anywhere and do whatever.
Yeah.
However, because we have a heel as one champ and a face as another, I don't see it happening.
Yes.
But, I mean, we've seen... I think if they think it would have benefited stories, then I don't think that we would have... Then I think that there was a possibility we could have seen it.
Yeah, but it would have to be essentially a champ for champ swap.
It would have to be a champ for champ swap. You're not going to have the IC and US title on the same show.
No. They wouldn't do that, no.
So, yeah. Anyways, that's it for SmackDown.
Yes.
Programming note, we're going to do Dirt Sheet this week. Maybe one other thing, but we got to figure that out. And but no countouts this week. We are going to have the travel log go up on Saturday.
Yes.
But we are in recovery mode, and then next week everything will be right back to
right
normal.
Right back. At it.
Yeah, and we're going to
We didn't do the In Your Haas installments, the quarterfinals, Monday and Tuesday. Those will be up Friday.
That is correct. Those are going to go up Friday.
And then the semis will be up next Monday. The final mm-hmm. match will be up mm-hmm. next Tuesday.
Yep, yep. And then we'll be back to regular programming.
Yeah, next week, all back to normal. Just going to dial it back a little bit this week to get some rest.
Yep, we don't want to burn out.
No.
And on that note, thanks for tuning in. And on the dirt sheet, I'm going to read off all the new patrons because I totally forgot to do that on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.